I think 2020 can't get any stranger. I guess we should have assumed there was going to be a lot of wacky things that happened with the election.
Hey, we got 8 weeks to go, people.
Put on your seatbelt.
That's right.
It's going to be a
bumpy
ride.
Get ready, the roller coaster ride. You can't get out until it's at a complete stop.
It's Anna and Raven. This happens to be the big trending news this morning.
The Maricopa County Elections Department says if you use a Sharpie like this one and fill out your ballot correctly, it should count, even if it bleeds through.
Sharpie Gate. Who saw Sharpie Gate 2020 coming?
Surprise, surprise. Right. Here it is, just once again.
Yep. And people were very concerned as they used their Sharpie at the polling places.
Was my ballot or my wife's ballot actually counted?
He was given a Sharpie by poll workers when he voted in person.
I filled out my front side of my ballot with the Sharpie, and when I turned it over, it had bled through so badly that I was a little bit concerned.
Yep. I mean, that's what Sharpies
this
do.
The real thing.
Yeah.
The real thing
we're
concerned about.
Raven, there's protesters outside of this Arizona polling place right now.
Sure.
And they're all chanting that there's issues with the Sharpies.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's actually a Sharpie problem or more so as it's just, you know, it's a pivot point. It's somewhere that people feel like they can grasp onto some sort of straw somewhere. Let's be real here. All right. Unless the vote is being decided by 3 votes in that county, chances are the Sharpie isn't affecting much.
Well, people disagree. They're saying that the Sharpies are not okay, but officials are saying,
well, those Sharpies are the ones that we provided at vote centers because they're the fastest drying ink. So we have new tabulation equipment that only reads the ovals. Even with that bleed through, it's not filling in any other oval on the other side.
Yeah, that makes sense to me because I flipped over my ballot and there wasn't anything interesting on the other side. It was just instructions. So nobody's looking for me to fill in a bubble on instructions.
Well, somebody on some states on the other side have questions.
Yeah.
There's other things on the other side, not just you know.
Would you like some Sharpie facts? I have some for you.
Yes, give me
Anna
some Sharpie
facts. Anna
walked
in 2 minutes ago and said, prepare your Sharpie jokes.
Mm.
Okay, so Sharpie was made in 1964 here in the United States, not manufactured in China, just so you know.
Well, that's good.
So they're not stealing the election that way.
Russia.
Also, it says that Sharpie is the safest fine marker to use on your skin, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, I would have thought it would have been the opposite, right?
Yeah, but you never get it off, though.
Because it's so strong, yeah. You would have thought it would have been no good. It's the safest one, they say.
I love Sharpies. I'm not even going to lie. Like, I love Sharpies.
Do you love to draw with them, smell them? What is your favorite thing about Sharpies?
I don't
Sharpies?
Like to smell them. It gives me a headache. But I like the accuracy of their point, so I could understand why election officials would go that way. Because at my polling place, my felt-tip pen was so worn out.
Oh,
and
so was mine. It was beat up. I could barely get the circle clean.
Yeah, it was like I kept having to fill it in over and over and over. You don't get that problem with a Sharpie.
That's
it's
right.
It's nice and clean.
Right,
you know?
So there you go, Maricopa County. I hope that it all worked out, and either Sharpies will be to blame or to credit, one or the other.
There's like a whole box of Sharpies in the studio, and I'm going to steal them on the way home today.
Well, go fill out some
Thank
ovals
you.
Somewhere.
I will. Have you used COVID as an excuse to get out of doing something? What was it? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. My uncle, Raven, for the last, I don't know, year, has been flip-flopping between the candidates.
Okay.
And I always thought it was funny because we'd have the conversation. One day he'd be so passionately in one direction. The other day he'd be so passionately in the other direction.
Sure, sure.
And it was funny because, you know, we always joke, Raven, that, like, who at this point is still undecided, like, the day before? Mm-hmm. And he was one of those people.
His vote was up in the air.
It was up in the air.
He was up for grabs.
It was crazy.
Right.
So finally, yesterday, I talked to him as everything is going on and we're waiting and hours of TV watching the results come in. I go, who did you end up voting for?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I didn't go. So I go, what do you mean you didn't go? He goes, you know, COVID, I wasn't really comfortable going to the polling place. I didn't feel it was safe. I go, time out.
Right, right.
Time out.
Come on. You've been walking around. You're sitting here with me right now.
Are you crazy?
Right.
You went to the mall.
Right.
Like,
I mean, there's places you've been going.
You said you needed a winter coat. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Now you don't want to go wait in line and go. To me, it seems so crazy. I go, I know what you're doing. You're using COVID as an excuse.
You're hiding under it.
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
And you tried to pull that, too. You were like, I don't know, COVID, polling places.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I would do the same thing when it came to going to the mall, actually. I'd go to the polling place 5 times in a day before I'd go over to the mall. I just can't stand going to the mall in general. And then when you go there at this point right now, some stuff is closed, some stuff is open. Everything's got some place that you're supposed to stand. Nobody's actually doing any of those things. So if you go, you might get a little bit paranoid. So I just use COVID as an excuse. excuse when it's time to go to the mall. Or Walmart? Oh, my wife always loves for me to go shopping with her. Sorry, honey, can't do it. Seems like it's irresponsible.
COVID.
Yeah.
I use COVID to get out of going grocery shopping myself.
Like, see?
Yeah, the kids are hungry. There's not a lot of food. I'm like, guys.
Yeah.
What's more important?
Right.
Your dinosaur chicken nuggets or mommy?
Mommy's safety.
Right.
Right. So yeah. It looks like it's takeout again tonight.
No, but I think that people do this in general. They use COVID as an excuse to get out of doing something they just don't want to do.
Right. Well, corporations, companies, offices that you call, they all use it. Sorry, we're experiencing more longer than usual wait times due to COVID. COVID came out in March.
Okay.
It's not a new thing, people.
My registration, I got a new car about a month and a half ago.
Right.
My registration, like the one on the back, the license plate, expired.
Sure.
So I call the lady, the sold to me. I go, hey, like, she gotta put my plates on? Like, what should I do?
Right.
And she goes, when the cop pulls you over, you just say COVID and they'll understand. And I was like, okay. And she's like, no, seriously, the DMV is so backed up. I go, I don't understand. Like, you didn't figure it out by now?
Right, right.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. Have you used COVID as an excuse to get out of doing something? What was it? My uncle used COVID as an excuse to not go vote. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, well, I didn't want to go there. And who knows how many people touched the pens and everybody's standing
in line.
He got
scared off. That's what happened to him.
No, he used it as an excuse. He's had no issues about doing everything else in his life with COVID. But he used it because he didn't know who he wanted to vote for. He decided not to vote at all, which is terrible, if you ask me.
Well, I guess, you know, coin flip or COVID, right?
It's Anna and Raven. And then I thought about it. I go, you straight use COVID as an excuse to get out of doing something you didn't want to do. And I think that's become very common lately is people use COVID as an excuse to get out of things.
I don't want to run errands with my wife. It's COVID.
Yeah.
I give her a leery look when she tells me where she's going. And then I go, be careful. Be very, very safe when you go.
Because you don't want to go.
And she rolls her eyes and does exactly what you just did.
We got invited to a party. We 100% said, like, we can't go to parties.
It was just wrong time for you.
There's six people going to be there still.
Sorry, can't make it. Outside with a breeze? Nope.
1-800-330-9999. Have you used COVID as an excuse to get out of something? What was it?
I did it, but my wedding photographer did. She told me she couldn't send my USB bike pictures because of COVID.
What?
I mean,
what do you mean?
Right.
Like, you know,
she said you could download your own pictures. I'll send you the link, but we can't send you your USB cord because of COVID. I'm like, but you don't have to touch me. You could send it in the mail.
Right, right. Just sanitize that thumb drive before you drop it in the envelope.
Yeah, I'm like, drop it off. I say drop it off to the cater place, but what I don't understand is you had no problem coming to my wedding and doing it.
Right.
Well, that's how you get the money. Right. That's how the money arrives.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It's on you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Have you ever used COVID as an excuse to get out of something?
I was supposed to turn 50 in July, and I used COVID as an excuse not to age. I mean, if I don't have a cake or a party, then I am still 49.
God bless you.
Right, so nobody's been reminded, right?
Yeah, perfect.
It's a good call.
Yeah, I'm actually still 26.
COVID hasn't been going on for 16 years.
14.
Wow.
14.
That's the best at math you've ever been. No doubt.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Have you used COVID as an excuse to get out of something?
This sounds bad, but I used COVID to finally fire three people on my staff that were just awful. I've been looking for a reason for 2 years at least. You know, this just happened to be the perfect time to do so.
It sounds so terrible, but I've read so many articles about so many companies doing this. Like, it's the perfect time for reduction in force because you don't really need a reason. You just say COVID and everyone's like, oh, okay.
Well, right. I mean, there's less money coming in. You're probably doing less business in general. And then, of course, you've got people working at home and you can say, well, they were effective at that to varying degrees or they weren't. In the office, I could count on them. At home, they don't want the extra work.
Yeah, it doesn't make you sound any better. It sounds awful, but I think that there's probably a lot of companies that are probably doing the exact same thing. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Have you used COVID to get out of something?
Yeah. So, So we had planned a trip with my in-laws to go to Italy this Christmas. And to be honest, guys, I was so happy to cancel it. I didn't want to go in the first place. I mean, do you have any idea how hard it is to travel with people in their late 80s? It's just, it would have been terrible, awful. So I was happy that we were kind of forced to cancel it because, you know, the perfect excuse for my wife. Sorry, honey, but we got to keep them safe.
I can see why it's difficult, why you want to do it, but it's not nice that you use COVID as an excuse.
Oh, come on. I'm keeping them safe.
Right, right. Keep those people safe.
Nobody believes that. Coming up in 10 minutes. I was shocked when I saw this was the number one Googled thing during the election coverage. And if you're Googling this, That is definitely all I need to know about you with Anna and Raven.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, if you're stress eating while you're watching the elections, that's not all I need to know about you, because everybody is.
Like, I feel like they did.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Everybody did that.
The stats are through the roof. Everybody is stress eating. It's crazy. But if you're Googling, and this was the number one Google search over the last 48 hours, liquor stores near me. That's a different story. That's all I need to know about you.
Well, just drink your way through the election results.
Right, but...
it's not a bad idea.
You mean to tell me that election coverage is the first time you went down the street and picked up a six-pack of Natty Light?
No. Maybe they just needed the closest one at that point. They might have their favorite store at that point. They've already been drinking, so now they need one that's actually in a vicinity that they can crawl to and then come back from there.
I was giggling. I'm like, who doesn't know what liquor store is closest to... unless I have a problem.
Right.
Like,
I know about five of the closest liquor stores to my house.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And you wait till election night to be like, oh my gosh, I don't have a single thing of Smirnoff in this place. The second most Googled term, French fries. Where can I get French fries? And then also I thought, oh, you've never eaten French fries before this moment in your life?
Or while drinking?
Right.
Right. I mean, because that doesn't sound right. I mean, Taco Bell, right. These are the things that you're going
to
do.
That's all I need to know about you. I usually never eat dinner in front of the TV. The last 48 hours, I have eaten every meal at home in front of the TV. It's like my eyes are glued. I don't know. I'm actually glad to be at work here in the studio and that our TV isn't working, because right. I think my eyes could use a break.
If you are anxiously awaiting the release of the Goop Holiday catalog, it's out now at this point, because you have to be the first in your neighborhood to buy a $210 lamp that is made out of bread. That's all I need to know about you.
Oh, this is Gwyneth Paltrow's thing.
That's right, right. So, yeah. And not to disappoint, there is a vulva coloring book.
A what?
A vulva coloring book. I mean, you know that's her thing, right? She puts that on everything. She puts it on anything, basically.
I don't think that's appropriate for your children.
I mean, well, that's... No. No, I wouldn't think so. No. That's $15. That one is a bargain, by the way.
Who wants that?
Well, somebody does. There is the Batard bread lamp that is made out of a handcrafted in Japan. It is made of actual bread covered in resin, so the insects won't get to it. It's the perfect gift for anybody that really loves sourdough, they say.
What? Who wants a lamp that's made out of bread and it's $200?
Yeah, $210, as a matter of fact. There's also a home birthing chair at the special discount price of $7,500.
Let me see the home birthing chair.
That's it right there. It just basically looks like a bunch of sheets of memory foam. But apparently, you can sit, kneel, squat, rest, lean, and crawl until they find peace and comfort on it.
Who disinfects that after you use it? That's what I want to know. And then what do you do with it after you're done having children? Does it become just, you know, a random like lazy boy in your family room? Do you want to have a seat in my birthing chair?
I get the birthing chair, right? We're going to do some Netflix binge watching tonight. Birthing chair's mine. I call birthing chair.
That's definitely all I need to know about you. Next, my 11-year-old daughter, Hayden, she suggested something that Trump and Biden do, and I thought it was crazy until I mentioned it to Raven, and then he told me, no, that's not crazy. It's happened before in history, and I was shocked. It's coming up in 10 minutes with Anna and Raven. You learn something new every day. It's Anna and Raven. But my daughter and I have been watching all the election coverage, like most families across America right now.
Sure.
And then she suggested this.
Since the election is so close, I think that whoever wins is the president and whoever loses is the vice president. Or they work in the White House, maybe as maid or butler.
Now, do I think either of these candidates will just be the other one's maid or butler? No.
Probably not.
And I said to her, I go, that's not how it works, Mama. And I explained the whole thing. Like, you have a running mate and, like, they're a team and, like, the whole Republican-Democrat thing.
Sure.
But then when I mentioned this to Raven...
I'm sure you broke the whole thing down to her.
Oh, 100%.
Right.
But wait a minute. You said this has happened before?
Well, there's been ties in the Electoral College before. It's happened at one time, and then there was obviously less electoral votes back in the day, right? So things were easier to happen. The nomination process was a little bit different, but there's been a time, not only has there been times when there's been unity tickets, when there's been Republicans and Democrats that teamed up to run together, but there's also been times when a presidential candidate became vice president because of a tie, and then things had to be voted on in said Congress.
When?
Yes. So in 1800, this is the election that caused them to add the 12th Amendment, which is basically the reason that this wouldn't happen now. So the 1800 election resulted in a tie between Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr. Burn. Forgive me if you're a historical student or professor, because I'm sure I am not explaining this the right way. That stalemate sent the election to the House of Reps, which chose Jefferson to be president. Now, if I'm not mistaken, it was either this election or the following election that the vice president was, again, a presidential candidate. Aaron Burr became the vice president at that time.
Wait a minute.
Now they make the House and the Senate actually vote on this, should it happen again, that there be a tie in the Electoral College.
I kind of love the idea. Like, if you come in second place,
yeah,
now you get to be vice president. That's your consolation prize.
Right, you get to be the runner-up.
Right, it's better than being the maid or the butler, well, like Hayden said.
Well, you know, again, in some countries, they still do something like that, where it's just based on popular vote, and those that, you know, the top three or two, three positions or whatever, that's how they do it. But here in the United States, it is a little bit confusing, as the Electoral College and everything else is.
I've been reading it
for a half hour, and I was aware of it and mentioned it to you, and still, I've now, like, kind of turned myself around on it.
I remember, though, after she said it, I thought about it when I was a kid,
yeah,
and I think I believed the same thing. I believed that whoever lost became the vice president, like,
right,
you became second place.
Well, it used to be, you know, obviously a bit more cordial. A lot of times they would offer them a position in the cabinet or some other job. I'm going to need you, man. We're going to work together. Of course, that's not really the case this time.
You don't think that's going to happen this time?
I really don't.
You don't think one candidate will decide to be the other one's vice president?
If one candidate in this election decides to help the other one, it'll probably be either to move their stuff in or out of the White House property. That would be the only help I would expect.
Speaking of the candidates, I noticed something in common with every president we've ever had for like the last 50 something years, and it has something to do with their face. You'll be surprised. It's coming up in 10 minutes with Anna and Raven.
Do you realize that no presidents have beards or mustaches? Have you noticed that, Raven?
I mean, I've noticed that they always have a clean look, right?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they're always going for that. Like, I'm an upstanding citizen. I take a shower and shave every day and put on a nice tie. That's kind of the thing, right?
You want to know what? It's a real thing. It's Anna and Raven. So the last major party candidate for the presidency to have any facial hair was Thomas E. Dewey. He had a mustache. And he was defeated in both the 1944 and 1948 presidential election.
I mean, that's a ways back.
Yeah. And they're saying a lot of, like, people and scientists, I guess, I don't know, election experts, said that his mustache may have contributed to the fact that he was defeated twice. And then I started thinking about it. And remember when JFK had the first debate with Nixon and it was all about he looked dirty because he had the 5 o'clock shadow?
Can't say I remember that one.
Well, if you watch the videos, I taught public speaking for a long time. So I've watched that debate way too many times. But, you know, TVs back in the 1960s was black and white.
Sure.
So the TV was black and white and it made him look dirty because he had like that 5 o'clock shadow. And people say that made him like people couldn't vote for him. So I started thinking about it. I go, is this a real thing?
Mm.
Is facial hair something that's frowned upon in the presidency?
Well, it's the reason that I make all my big decisions, right? If somebody's got a handlebar mustache that offends me, forget it. You're not going to be my contractor.
Well, you know who agrees with you? Social scientists. There's been a lot of research done, and they said the existence of facial hair on potential presidential candidates is regularly noted and is harmful in their election.
It's so ridiculous, the things you have to consider, right, when you're a campaign manager.
Like, every day, Joe Biden and Donald Trump have to wake up and shave their face.
Every single day.
Every day. Imagine them with a mustache or a beard. It feels weird,
right? It's hard to think about what Trump would look like, what the president would look like. I wonder whether or not the beard would match the drapes. Who knows?
Who knows?
Right.
Then I was thinking about it. And I was like, who had the most attractive facial hair out of all the presidents?
Presidential candidates or people that were president?
People that were president.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, Abraham Lincoln's full hipster beard.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
Very attractive.
Everybody knows Abraham Lincoln is famous, yeah, famous for the beard.
Theodore Roosevelt's poofy mustache, it always looks like it's frowning. It,
yeah,
like crowns like his whole entire down to
it's
his
It's like
chin.
A street sweeper.
Right.
It's like if something is coming in there, he won't let any of the large particles get through the mustache into his mouth. It's like a filter.
Or William Taft's handlebar mustache.
It's been a long time since I've seen that one, if ever in my life.
It looks like a handlebar mustache. Exactly what you think a handlebar mustache looks like.
Except were there Harleys when he was president? I don't know. So that it changes the look and feel for me, right? Handlebars on a horse is different than handlebars on your steel machine.
Why do we find guys with facial hair attractive, but when a president has facial hair, all of a sudden we're like, nope.
Well, it's the bad boy thing, right? You've talked to me about this with your husband countless times. Your husband never rocks facial hair, except every once in a while he feels a little bit rebellious, and he decides he's going to put on a goatee for a week or two.
And then I call him Evil Paul.
Right,
what
he's
you
Evil
think about
Paul.
It, he becomes Evil Paul. Anytime he grows a goatee and he tries to convince me it's hot, I look at him and I call him evil.
Right.
So maybe there's something here.
Evil Nixon, evil JFK, evil Abraham Lincoln. They don't have the same ring to it when you're headed into the polls, I'm guessing.
I don't think we should ever call it evil Abraham Lincoln. coming up, you may have noticed something interesting about the flags that have been flying. Their size. Fill you in 10 minutes with Anna and Raven. Sure have been seeing a lot of flags. And if you're anything like me, you've been seeing big flags flying all over the place. It's Anna and Raven. Producer John was out at the polls, and he was talking to people while they were in line to vote, and he noticed something interesting.
So I noticed you walking down the street with a large, full-sized American flag. Can you tell me why you're doing that today?
Right. Because today is a day for the USA, for the United States, for America. It's everybody voting. Beautiful. I have a huge flag that I put on holidays.
He's got a flag that's even bigger than the flag that he was carrying in line to vote.
I like his attitude. No divisiveness. He says it's about the country. He's fired up. You know, the size of your flag directly proportionate to the size of your patriotism in him. Just like the size of your truck tires is proportionate to your ability to be a man.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Yep. So I started doing some research because I feel like lately when you see the flags, they just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like everybody's got this giant flag and I'm feeling a little left out because my flag seems somewhat
small,
inadequate,
flaccid,
sad,
not able to do the job.
It doesn't say how much I love my country.
Unsatisfactory.
Yep. Turns out that the country's biggest flag measures 505 feet wide by 225 feet tall.
I mean, that's pretty big.
It weighs 3,000 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
It cost $80,000 to make.
Okay.
And it holds the Guinness World Record for the world's largest American flag. It takes 500 people to unfurl, and each star is 17 feet high.
Where do you fly that thing?
Well, the story is actually fascinating. There's this guy.
Give it to me.
His name is Ski Dembski, or I should say his name was Ski Dembski. And he lives in Long Beach, California. And every year he would run for mayor. And every year he would lose. But he loved his country so much.
So much.
That he commissioned this giant flag that's been used in Super Bowls and everywhere.
Oh, okay. So they take it to football games. That makes sense.
Yep. And they even used it during, I believe, George Bush's inaugural parade.
Okay. So you probably can't fly it so much as you've just got to, like, carry it along.
And in 1980, his neighbors had had enough of this flag in his front yard.
Wait a minute. There's no way that the flag was in his front yard if it weighed 3,000 pounds and was 500 feet wide.
They sued him.
He had to own all of Long Beach.
He said, and the neighbors said, and they sued him saying that it flapped too loudly. It flapped too loudly.
Well, I believe that if it was indeed that size.
Here's the thing. He won the case. He won the case.
Yeah.
And that flag
Because this
still
is America.
Flies.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
But it gets crazier, Raven.
Oh, come on.
He died back in 2002.
Yeah.
And now his ashes are on top of the flagpole and the flag's still there.
I can't. It blows my mind to think that this flag is actually up in the air. But
yeah.
I appreciate your patriotism, sir. Ski Dembski or Ski whatever
Ski
his
Dembski.
Name was.
Right. Mayor Ski Dembski. Let's pay him some respect.
But he never was mayor.
I know.
Right. you want to give it to him just, you know, like a dignitary?
Guy. I feel bad.
It turns out science says there is actually a proportionate ratio that you need for your flag to be proper. Are you ready?
Yeah.
When flying one flag on a single flagpole, the length of the flag should be at least 1/4 the height of the pole. For example, a 40-foot pole requires a minimum 6-foot by 10-foot flag with the max being 8 by 12. And there is, believe it or not, a chart because an article was passed on this here in the States that said that, you know, basically this is how your flag's got to be. Are you ready?
Yeah.
15-foot flagpole, 3 by 5, 20-foot, 4 by 6, 50-foot, 8 by 12 or 12 by 15, and 23 by 5. For a 25-foot pole, you'll go 5 by 8.
What if I want to create a flag and put it on a toothpick and just have the world's smallest flag?
Well,
then what?
I feel like they already have those for drinks.
Oh, I'm confused. It's Anna and Raven. Kanye West, you know, he's running for president.
Of course.
Yeah. He conceded the election. He admitted defeat. He also announced his intent to run again in 2024.
I love it, man. Don't let him get you down, Kanye.
And then he canceled his appearance that he was scheduled to be on election night with Jimmy Kimmel. And I started thinking about it. I go, wait a minute. He really thought he was going to win.
He thought he had a chance, yeah. Thought he was going to be in there.
What I find shocking is that not only did he truly believe that he had a shot to truly win and be president of the United States of America,
right,
that he got 60,000 votes.
That's the thing that's truly disturbing to me, man.
What?
I mean, 60,000 votes, that's a lot of people that put the time in to actually write you in. And some of the places that I'm seeing the feedback on where these votes came in from, it's mind-boggling.
Right, so...
It's one thing to be funny. It's something else entirely to just be an idiot. You know,
I was joking yesterday, but like when I went to the polling place, there was something when I got to the place where I said write-in candidate.
Right.
I don't know what came over me.
Right.
But it was like a little devil on my shoulder being like, just write Kanye West. Just write Kanye West. And then there was the angel on the other shoulder.
Right.
I was like, no, Anna, that's not funny. Don't do it.
Right.
Turns out 9,999 people also thought to do the exact same thing.
It's absolutely crazy to me. Yeah. And I'm seeing again where these votes are coming in from. Like, who's voting for Kanye West in Vermont? That seems like a college party that got out of hand.
1,266 people voted for Kanye West in Vermont.
It's absolutely crazy to me.
So in Tennessee, 10,216 people voted for Kanye West for president.
Is he from Tennessee? Does he know people in Tennessee?
I looked it up because I was so curious. And it's Davidson County had a majority of the votes. And all I kept wondering is, like, you know how everybody's, like, protesting outside of,
Maricopa. Right, they're all over the place.
Yeah, they're, like, standing outside and they're, like, demanding to see the Sharpies and everything.
Right.
Do you think they're doing that right now in Davidson County, Tennessee for Kanye West?
I feel like there's a small concert venue there or something, and he came and did a show a long time ago, and people were like, Kanye was great. He was great. I'm putting my faith in him for the future.
I mean, I guess because it's part of Nashville, that's why they're, like, to do it.
60,000 people is a force. Like, y'all could have got something else done.
You could start your own country. Maybe it's the people. You know how he's building those little...
Right, the huts, space huts.
The space huts.
Right.
Maybe those people are all going to go live in Kanye land. It's nuts, right? Yeah.
It is crazy.
But what's even crazier is that this election is so incredibly close that there's a lot of these states...
60,000 votes could have made a difference.
You could have voted for a different president. You could have literally made the difference.
You could have been the change.
Be... Yes!
Right.
Right now, Nevada is an 8,000 count difference.
It's so ironic because you always figure, you know, those people that are doing that right, and you figure that they've just said, well, it's not going to make any difference. I'm doing it to prove a point, right? But now it could.
But if you voted for Kanye West, bad news. It's over. Good news, you'll have your chance again in 2024. Next on Couples Court, would you exclude your future sister-in-law from your bridal party if she had too many of these? You're going to get the whole story and be the judge with Anna and Raven.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Bree and Drew, congratulations. I know you guys are engaged. Bree, let's start with you. What's going on?
Hi. Well, thank you. Yeah, so Drew's sister wants to be at our wedding, and I love Drew's sister. I really, really do. The problem is that, honestly, like, she's all tatted up and has this, like, insane nose ring.
Tatted up? She's got, like, too many tattoos? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, she's got both sleeves. I mean, they're not on her face, thankfully, but, like, it's a lot. It's really a lot, and she's got this insane nose ring in as well. I just really feel like it's going to be super not comfortable to have her in the wedding, you know, like, in a sleeveless dress. I want her at the wedding. I don't want her to be one of my bridesmaids. And I know that sounds awful.
No, you don't want her to be in the pictures. It does sound awful, I'll be honest with you.
It does sound awful. Joe, what's your side of this?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously it's tough because I want her in the wedding. And, I mean, I want her in the wedding. She's, you know, my sister. And I get what she's saying, though. She's covered in, you know, ear gauges and tattoos, but she's still my sister. It's just tough.
Yeah, I mean, Bree, do you have sisters? Is one of your sister going to be in the wedding party? Do you have a brother? Anybody?
Yeah, I do have a sister, and she's so vanilla, it's ridiculous. So it would stand out even more.
Yeah, I mean, but how do you do it without hurting somebody's feelings? Really, really hard. Especially, you said that she wants to be in the wedding party. She mentioned it to you guys.
Yeah, even my mother agrees, and she likes her a lot as well. She's just, I mean, compared to my sister, I don't know. I feel so bad, but I really, it just can't happen.
This is a tough one. You hear about brides having to deal with things like this. Are you very close with her, or is it just more that she's going to be your sister-in-law?
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to be very close with her if you start off by hurting her feelings, too, at the same time. I would say the challenge really is for the photographer to make the shots look wonderful, right? I mean, I get what you're saying. On the other hand, I mean, that's clearly his sister, and that's the way she expresses herself. So this is the way this person's going to be the rest of your life. And if you're going to start off by not having them involved, I don't see how you do that without hurting their feelings, Anna.
Well, I agree, Raven. I think that this is one of those situations where you kind of just got to suck it up. But let's see what the audience thinks. They may agree with you, Bree. It's your wedding. And if you feel that having her in there will make her stand out too much, then you have every right to think that and not have her there. But they may see Joe's side too. It's his sister, and so what that she has ear gauges, a nose ring, and full sleeves? It's still his sister, and she has every right to stand up there in the sleeveless dress like everybody else.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Joe and Bree are planning a wedding, and Joe's sister has full tats sleeves, both her arms, ear gauges, a nose ring. And Bree doesn't think it would be such a great idea to have her in the wedding party.
Yeah, it seems a little bit shallow on the surface. Joe says, she's my sister. I get it. We don't want to disrupt the photos here. At the same time, she's my sister. We're getting married. We're all family. This will bode badly for the future.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on Joe's side. In the long run, down the line, it's going to grow a wedge between their relationship, especially if she liked his sister and there's no issues there. I think it's better to just include her and having her as part of the wedding. It'll be great for the memories and great for their family. And I think just because of doing it because of the way she looks is not a good enough reason to have her as part of the wedding.
I mean, what if you thought she was ugly? What if you thought she was too short? What if you thought she was too big?
I think that's happened before. We've seen that where brides have told people like, oh, you should lose a little bit of weight. It's I don't know. Brides get nuts. Grooms get nuts, too. It's tough. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven. Bree and Joe are getting married, except one problem. Bree doesn't want her future sister-in-law in the wedding party because she's completely tatted up, full sleeves, both arms, nose ring, ear gauges, says, I don't know. I don't think she should be in our pictures.
Joe says, this is my sister. We've got to invite her. Come on. This will just get weird. If we don't have her in the bridal party, she's excited about it. It's going to get out of control.
Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
Yeah, I'm kind of mixed, but I will tell you, we had the exact same situation in our family. We ended up, she was in the wedding. We got creative with the dresses, and, you know, it was great. All of the girls wore kind of an over, very sheer cape, and it was beautiful, and it was more important that she was in the wedding. So.
Except for that one girl who was wearing a parka. And it was just covering all our tattoos.
Thank you for the call. Have a good morning. I mean, nobody likes to feel like somebody is covering them up.
Yeah,
right?
I get it.
That wouldn't make you feel good at all.
I don't know. But you also, if you love your brother, you'll do anything you can to make them happy.
And Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. I'm actually in a near identical situation. My fiance, we just got engaged, and her brother has long, dyed red hair and gauges. And we just told him flat out, hey, you're taking out these out for the picture. Sorry. And he didn't even say a thing about it. He said, yeah, no, of course. And he was totally understanding. He's going to get a haircut, dye his hair back to brown, take the gauges out. So it's not his picture. It's our pictures. And, you know, that's just how he felt. We felt strongly about it, and he didn't even argue a little bit.
Well, see, that's the thing. You asked them. You gave them the option. You told them what it was that you would expect
them. No, we really actually didn't ask them. We kind of told them flat out.
Oh, well, okay.
I love it. Thank you for the
call. I guess that family works that way, right?
Yeah. Stand on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side, but I think there's a simple solve here. Why not have the sister be a groomsman? She can get a really beautiful tuxedo.
Oh my gosh.
Her tattoos will be covered, and they both win.
Okay.
Because that's about making you feel better, not that person. That would be my short answer, but thank you for the call.
That's a tough one. I don't know if I could do that.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Bree, our audience agreed with Joe this morning. You have to give in the fact that this is family. Family isn't always exactly what you want them to be, but you have to love them nonetheless. And that means her standing at the altar with you.
Okay.
Bree, as somebody who's been to a million weddings and seen dozens and dozens and dozens upon photos every single year, you know, it's really up to the photographer to make these shots work. And I bet you that they're going to work a lot better than you think, actually. Your sister-in-law is going to beautify herself before the event in her own way, and the photographer is going to capture that. It's kind of cool, the melting pot that we all become when family becomes one.
Yeah, I guess if it's too crazy, we could always just airbrush it.
Well, there's that.
There's that option. I'm sure if you discreetly say something to the photographer, like, he'll take care of it. Joe, you're cool with that?
Okay.
Yeah, I think we should talk to the photographer. I think that's the best way to go about it. I agree. You know, she's a part of our family, and we can't change her. To just talk with the photographer and see what we can do is probably the best idea.
If you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com. Coming up next, biggest jackpot we ever had, $3,100. Just for knowing your pop culture trivia. Can't beat Raven in 10 minutes.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, this is Taylor.
Taylor, you got $3,100 on the line. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Taylor.
Taylor, I'm trusting you to do this. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I'll bring Raven back in. I'll ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to go?
Yes.
3 seconds for each one. Number one, Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello got a new yellow Labrador, and they named him Tarzan. A tribe of what type of animal raised Tarzan?
Apes.
Number two, a New York City waitress said that Jake Gyllenhaal was a whiny customer, and he never paid when he was out to dinner with his friends. What 2005 movie did he co-star in with Heath Ledger, where they played a ranch hand and a rodeo cowboy?
Brokeback Mountain.
Number three, Lori Loughlin is currently serving her time in prison for the college admission scandal. What's the name of her husband's fashion line?
Oh, I don't remember.
Number four, speaking of fashion, Beyonce is sending all her friends her new fitness wear line. What's the name of her active wear line?
Queen.
And number five, drama recently on The Bachelorette when The Bachelorette fell in love too quickly and she will now be replaced. What was that Bachelorette's first name?
Claire.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. Come on, Raven.
Yo.
Taylor got 3 out of 5.
It's not terrible. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello got a new yellow Labrador puppy, named him Tarzan.
Okay.
A tribe of what type of animal raised Tarzan?
Apes, of course. Come on.
Apes is correct. Number two, a New York City waitress said that Jake Gyllenhaal was a whiny customer and he never paid when he was out to dinner with his friends.
That's too bad.
What 2005 movie did he co-star in with Heath Ledger where they played a ranch hand and a rodeo cowboy?
It's Brokeback Mountain.
Yes.
He is a great actor, but he is a bit strange.
Number three, Lori Loughlin is currently serving her time in prison for the college admission scandal. What's the name of her husband's fashion line?
Massimo, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't think you'd know that.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh! Number four, speaking of fashion, Beyonce sending all of her friends her new fitness wear line. What is the name of her active wear line?
Ivy Park.
Yep.
Look at me roll.
Number five, drama recently on The Bachelorette when The Bachelorette fell in love too quickly and she will be replaced.
I heard about that.
What's her first name?
Claire, isn't it?
Sorry, Taylor. He beat you 5-3 this morning.
That's okay. I'm Taylor and I can't beat Raven.
Hold on, Taylor. We're going to hook you up with the Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Newly designed. Enjoy that shirt, girl.
When is this going to end? When? Oh, my gosh. Make sure you're listening at noon and 5:30 today for the cheat sheet. I'll give you the first 2 answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions. It's going to be $3,200. You got to take them down. You got
it. It just keeps getting more and more exciting. Oh, I love this.
I'm going to have a heart attack.
Let's play.